We are three friends who are talking and learning from interesting people, working in various industries, sharing their stories and journeys so far. These are your hosts,
Hiloni Punadar,
Atit Kothari,
and Tapan Desai, and this is What We Had. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any episodes.
So today we have with us Harsh Swaminarayan, and let's dig deep into our conversations and know more about his journey.
What's up, Harsh? How are you? It's been very, very long time.
Yeah. Like, I think 8 years, I guess, or more. Extremely long time, and just really excited to be here and feel very privileged and just proud and amazing of what you guys are doing with this. I wish this was something like this was there in my time when I was in college. About overall just in this time, currently through the pandemic, just feel currently lucky and grateful to be able to survive through these times.
Yeah, I remember like attending Swami's like first year like of our engineering, the seminar on Sir Ken Robinson, like a TED Talk style seminar that you gave. And I think that's when I was introduced to you. And then you, I don't know if you were, you discovered my videos on Facebook or something, but you have basically introduced me to Sumit and Shroff and, you know, all those guys. So thank you for taking a chance on me. You've always been supportive and you bring a very unique perspective. So I'm excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm glad.
It's something that I have personally been extremely intrigued about, the philanthropic nature or the kind of different from norm journey that you have taken, starting from working in Teach for India right after graduation. I mean, the kind of after the engineering degree and the kind of potential we ourselves saw you in you as a senior, we definitely thought like you would be picking up some really good job or some entrepreneurial stuff of yours. And then we come to know, okay, no, he's gone into like teaching and he's gone for Teach for India and something so great, so nice, so humble. How did you carve that journey for yourself, or how did you decide that this is what you want to begin your career with?
You know, when I think about it, and then when you ask that, you know, how this path being different from the norm, I was just wondering, haven't all of us taken different paths from the norm, right? And I think now that should be the norm, right? Everyone should create their own unique paths, right? And for me specifically, you know, many things came together for me to be able to take that call, right? And I'll first quickly, you know, share the pointers and then elaborate on a few, right? If I just put pointers, I think failure, experiencing things beyond the confines of the current curriculum, reflection and self-awareness, which led to being proactive about my own life, and curiosity. I think these would be 4 or 5 big things which came together, and I'll just elaborate on a few of these, right? I still remember one of my teachers in school, she had the habit of questioning everything in the textbook. She would, you know, deliberately read and things ulta from the textbook, right? Ki ye aise bol rahe, right? And then we had to, no, aise nahi bol rahe, aise bol rahe. So she just, you know, built that habit in me to just question everything and keep asking why. I think that stayed with me. If you ask me, I think sadly what is the biggest takeaway from my school life, it would be just this. And I spent like 10 to 12 years in the schooling system, but I'm really glad that I picked this up and I kept this with me, right? That was one of the things. Then after 10th, right, till 10th, all of us SSC, everyone has gone through it. 10th mein achha score karna hai, right? Till 10, that's your only vision, mission, view of life, right? And I think it has improved, gotten much better over the years for future generations, but I think majorly abhi bhi wohi hai. So my experience through that, and then, you know, after that, obviously I, you know, 10th May, I was successful. Wo definition. So tha successful ka. I topped my school. And then obviously I took science, and then obviously I just started preparing for IITs, right? And all of that happened. And very luckily, I started to fail there. I was not among the toppers there, because there were so many others out there. And then just got me and pushed me to reflect on why was this happening, right? After succeeding and doing what everyone told me, ki ye badi, like, this is success, then why am I not, why am I feeling down, right? And then through a series of different things which happened in that time, readings, etc., I was just determined to not let anyone else go through the same outdated system again. Right? A lot of good things are happening in that system and have happened, but they are not happening fast enough. And most things are not meeting ground reality and student and teacher needs, right? And just to put thoda brighter, like, focus on the brighter side. I recently heard a great thing on your podcast only. Hari sir talking about a course in AI. That was pretty inspiring. I was like, wow. And then right from our time, I think DJ always seemed to be very open to new ideas. You know, I myself had tried many new things in DJ assembly, those clubs, chote-chote. I don't know if you guys remember, but yeah. Ye TED Ved bhi wahin se sab shuru hua. And I think Hari sir, Joshi sir, Daptardar sir, during my time, I think they were very open to new things, and I was so amazed. But this is rare, and that is the issue, right? It's just DJ, or I'm not sure how many colleges in India are thinking that way, and DJ ka audience is limited, right, in terms of the number of students it can have and all of that, right? The geography, you have the whole of India, right? So from that lens, I feel, you know, that was the motivation. Ki yaar, things have to improve. It's not how it should be. And then it was a lot of curiosity and exposure to what was happening then in the education system across the globe, right? In my engineering years, I spent a lot of time. I didn't, like, this stayed with me, this passion to just, you know, revolutionized education stayed with me. And thanks to the internet, TED, Ken Robinson, Facebook of that time, I just got to keep myself constantly updated of what's happening, what all of, or why the education system is the way it is, what are different potential options and all of that, right? And another thing was ki ye sab, I was thinking all of this, but to practically get myself to do something actionable here, I had to convince my family, right? And immediately after 12th, I wanted to do something in education. But unfortunately, at that time, I realized that even a B.Ed. requires a graduation. There was nothing anyone can do to enter the education system or understand the system post 12th. So my option was either do arts and get a degree there, or do what the family and everyone is saying and encouraging me to do, ki tu engineering kar le, it's the best thing out there, right? So then I kind of made a deal with my parents. Ki, okay, I will do engineering. I'll but after that, because wait, right? Engineering is isliye karna hai, because there's nothing else available for education. But I told them, after engineering, I will do whatever I want, right? With no questions asked. And they agreed to it. Okay. And that's, and I think they hoped that my passion for education would die out by then, I guess. And that's why they agreed. But little they know, the passion only grew stronger, right? And that's the reason. And this is a very critical aspect, right? Ki parents play a huge role in this time of life for you, to enable you to do what you want. So I got lucky to have thought about this and make this deal with them. Yeah, I think that was another thing. And what I also happened to do is, to convince them, I tried to myself experience what an IT engineer life post-engineering would be. So I always believed in doing things practically, not theoretically, right? So there was this, again, course कुछ स्कॉलरशिप मुझे मिला बाय अ टाइम्स ग्रुप एंड देयर वाज एन इंस्टीट्यूशन कॉल्ड IIHT एंड देयर यू कुड डू कोर्सेज ऑन रेड हैट माइक्रोसॉफ्ट का सर्टिफिकेशन सिस्को का सर्टिफिकेशन एंड ऑल ऑफ दैट सो आई डिड दैट फॉर अ ईयर एंड आई गॉट अ टेस्ट ऑफ व्हाट माय प्रोफेशनल लाइफ could look potentially look like right and I tried to get that real life exposure this way and I told my mom I can't do this like no like I've experienced this you wanted me to see it but like again we've made a deal so I'll complete engineering but I don't think after engineering I'm going to do this job other few things which help is the books right that time The Secret by Rhonda Byrne Fountainhead Atlas Shrugged all of these just pushed me to be proactive and take control of my own life. I think that's the whole gamut of different things which helped me, take that different path.
That's brilliant. And like, as you were talking, I was thinking about something was like at the age of, when did we graduate? 21, 2019, 2021, like thinking about these stuff. Yeah. And like questioning all of that and plus like telling your parents, like striking that deal that requires a lot of courage. And like, I personally never thought I would be doing something like that. So like kudos to you, but like, how do you start thinking about it? And like, how did you in the first place became curious, you know, like that you want to, and like, how were you like comfortable making that decision? No, I want to be teaching and I want to be helping, like it won't be a bad decision or something like that.
What got me started reflecting and thinking about this is the failure which I experienced after 10th while preparing for my IITs and all those entrance exams. That got me thinking. And then what helped me is these books, the stories, right? Like The Secret opened up all possibilities. I can do whatever I want. So at that time, 12th ke baad toh aisa bhi dream tha ki because I know The Secret, I can do whatever I want. I'll become a very famous cricketer and I will tell the world that the education system sucks. We need to change. That was also one of my plans. And that was the plan till I stumbled upon Ken Robinson's talk, which Atit, you were referring to, which I have personally shown at that time. I don't know to how many people. And I was like, this person has said it. And when I was first time myself looking at that talk, I was like, this is it. This is what was in my head, which I wanted to communicate. He's done it. Now, what do I do? What next? So next mission became, ki I will show this talk to everyone. So that was my mission for the next year or so. And that's how things kept rolling. And the courage, I think I got a lot, I think from Atlas Shrugged and Fountainhead to just not give a damn about what the world thinks or what... It's a little extreme. I also thought I don't care what my parents think. And I was like, I listened to them till a point, and now beyond a point, I want to take my own decisions. I think I would just attribute all that courage to Atlas Shrugged and Fountainhead. I read that book twice over 2 years. It was just very, very good at that time. And there are pros and cons of that book, but I think at that time it was really helpful and gave me this courage.
Fountainhead is by Ayn Rand, right?
Like both of them, Ayn Rand.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very powerful books. So I remember you were also involved in like Teach for India while at DJ. Like what was some of the, how were you a part of it and some of the lessons that you learned there?
Yeah. Again, very interesting. All of this is connected, right? And now, famously, as you know, you can connect the dots backward, right? So what happened is that Ken Robinson started spreading it. And then his next video, I think tab tak 2-3 video aa gaye the. And then I think his third video came. And I, on TED, I shared a comment. I was very full in my passion mode, right? Ki I will, do everything in my capacity to bring about this revolution and I'll, give my blood and everything. Wo pura josh mein aake wo likha. And then I think till date, that comment ka discussion thread is the longest on that video. I have not checked abhi tak recently, but last when I checked 2-3 years back, it was when you sorted by the longest discussion thread, my comment should come up, I guess, fingers crossed. But I think that led to the creation of a group on Facebook called the Learning Revolution. And that was my core source of updating myself of what's happening in education across the globe. And that's where I stumbled upon Teach for India. And then you know, saw it as a great opportunity to enter in the field of education without unnecessary requirements, right? I had given a thought of doing B.Ed, but I felt ki if B.Ed were, you know, that effective, education would have been revolutionized. So I was like, ki nahi, mujhe wo, and even in engineering, right, the curriculum everything is still outdated, right? So I was like, ki real life experience kahan milega? And Teach for India gave that opportunity to step right into the classroom and face the challenge bang on, right? Head on. So I think that was how I became aware of it. And then I was very clear ki bhai, like, this is it. This is what it is, right? And I didn't even sit for any of the placements. I applied in the first deadline and I got through by June, July in my fourth year of engineering. And uske baad TCS aise ek baitha tha because mom said, bait lo, tab tak TFI ka result nahi aaya tha. TFI ka result aa gaya. Uske baad full fourth year, I did not apply anywhere because TFI was done. That's how I came across TFI, and one of the most challenging things I've done, and so much learning, right? And if I have to go back to, you know, and look at the lessons, it just reiterated and make me really experience failure again, right? And it's very critical to fail as you test, and it helps you refine your ideas. Right. I wanted to, you know, teach higher grade children and take them to the next level, do revolutionary stuff with them. That was my aim for first year. And then I entered into the classroom. Like, I had assumed they are here, I will take them here. But unfortunately, they were way below. And I realized that, whoa, this is crazy. Right. And teaching is incredibly hard. And that was one of my realizations. And another realization was that revolution in education is going to take much longer. Might happen beyond my own lifetime, right? Mujhe 2 saal mein revolutionize karna tha education. No, that's not going to happen. Finland, right? We hear so much about Finland. Finland took about 70 years. We are hearing about it now, but the process of moving towards a great education system started in around 1950s, 60s. And it takes, so they took 70 years. Imagine India, right? It's going to take a lot more unless artificial super intelligence comes up with a epic solution for all. But it's long-term thing, I think. And another piece is, again, a revalidation of the system being outdated and not being able to cater to teachers and children's needs. So those were my lessons from Teach for India.
So why do you think that is? Like, why is the system outdated? Is it just because of the bureaucracy, incompetence within other decision makers? Or is it like a cultural thing? Or we were just dealt a bad hand?
This problem, right? The problems in education system, it's a wicked problem. You've heard of wicked and tame problems? Do you know that concept?
No, I don't.
Yeah, even I don't.
So basically, and you should Google this and you'll find out more. I'll try to describe it in short. Wicked problems are those problems where no one agrees on the definition of the problem. So problem, usme clarity nahi hai ki what the problem is, then how will you solve it? It's an extremely complex problem. Tame problems are problems like put a man on moon. Everyone knows what that looks like. Everyone is clear on the end result. We figure out the how. Education system, there's no alignment on what the problem is. I think that makes it so wicked. And it's a combination of things which makes it what it is right now. And there's a lot out there, you know, which goes into the history of why this form of education system came into being because of the Industrial Revolution and stuff like that. There's a lot more about this. And if you want, we can dig into that. But there are multiple reasons because of which the system is the way it is right now. I would say including all the reasons you mentioned, Atit, and beyond that as well.
Yeah, I didn't know about the wicked and tame problems. I'll definitely look into that.
You should.
So how did you discover 3-2-1 education? Is that actually, before we do that, what is next? What after TFI?
Yeah, so it was 3-2-1, right? And I think what made me discover 3-2-1 is just continue to being curious, to being open to explore. I think in engineering life, I did everything, right? Because I came out of listening to everyone. I was like, abhi sab karna hai, right? So from year one, after the first 6 months of being very studious and again coming top in class, I was like, bas, ab dubara same cycle nahi, ab main sab karunga. And then I think the cultural fest came and I was all over the place. I did all the events, everything. And then dheere dheere, you know, next year, I think wo IT department ka cheez, wo sab shuru hua, wo sab karte karte, I experienced everything. And I got to be a part of the committee, do some leadership role, and, you know, so that being exploring everything, being open to explore everything, that stayed with me even after Teach for India, throughout, right? And what happened is, of course, I got very, very lucky as well. But again, different things came together. I was teaching grade 7 in my first year of the fellowship. And in that school, there was no 8th grade. So the options in front of me for second year of my fellowship was, you know, shift to some other school where similar grade or something like that. You know, teach higher grade towards getting great marks in 10th standard. Again, I was at that time not convinced that's where I should spend my energy of, because I myself have gone through the 10th standard and I did not even still feel it's, you know, it added that much value. But again, it has its own pros and cons given the way the current system is. So then I, again, there was one of the sessions where 3-2-1 came and pitched to first year fellows about openings in the organization for second year fellows. And I never imagined teaching KG, right? I told you, right, ki mujhe Teach for India higher grade padhana tha because agle level pe leke jana tha. So KG was to nowhere in my consideration. But 3-2-1 was operating. It started with a school with kindergarten as the first grade, and then it kept increasing. But I was open to that. And what really attracted me to 3-2-1 is the focus on research and teamwork, because I had never experienced that in my pursuit of passion, with a team doing something, relying on research, even more research. Mera to kafi limited tha Facebook se jo aa raha tha wo, but aur thoda bahut Google search, but this was like really beyond that, right? So I grabbed that opportunity. One of the first initial paths was observation of my classroom by Gaurav Singh. He's our founder and CEO. He's also an engineer and TFI fellow, first TFI fellow, 2009 batch. And side note, he would be another great guest on this show for all the listeners. Coming back. So he came to observe my classroom. It was a disaster. Teaching is hard. And I was failing there also. But I think conversation with him post that observation, there was a lot of big picture alignment. I was pretty sure that this is the place for me and that I'll fit here. And I hope that they'll see it too. And they took a bet on me. And then it's worked out well, I think, till now.
What's your role at 3-2-1 and what do you do?
Yeah. So at 3-2-1, the biggest thing which aligned with me was the vision, mission, culture of the org and all of that, right? And with respect to roles, I did whatever the org needed from the starting, right? So I did many roles in 3-2-1. I started with math subject teacher. Then I became math content lead. I became a class teacher, grade lead, academic lead. And then finally, as the org grew and we took a different direction, we identified that my strengths kind of lie more in the people operations team part, modern HR. And that's what I've been doing since 2017. So I was a manager for a year and then senior manager, currently also senior manager people operations. And my role is to ensure high employee engagement, retention, and recruitment. And if I were to explain this to a five-year-old, I'll very simply put this as I work on checking and ensuring that everyone is happy and satisfied about how the team is working towards the org's vision and mission. Right. And we do this by creating and maintaining many organizational systems, elements of organizational framework, which includes work management, team building, culture, time management, people management, stuff around that. Right. So that's one of the core roles. And the second one is just getting right people in the org as required, the recruitment piece. So that's about the role I have at P2One.
So are you still teaching there as well, or?
No. So I teached in 2015, 15, 16, minute. 2014, 15 was the last year I taught. 15, 16, I started in the role of supporting teachers and people who are teaching.
Do you miss teaching?
Actually, no. Because by the time 3 to 4 years into teaching, I realized this is not me. It required me to become someone else. I learned a lot through that experience, definitely. But I don't think I could keep doing that. It is extremely hard. And I think my strengths don't align with what the role requires.
So I've always been curious about this situation. I mean, when we kind of take up our degrees and the conventional thought process is that, okay, you are aiming at doing something in your workspace. One is definitely out of the passion that you want to do it for, but second also aligns with the monetary benefits that you get out of a role or the job that you're doing. So in a role like yours and in the organizations like you, I am personally not completely aware about it, but does it also have the same, I'm sure we see the passion in you, but does it also align with the probably the monetary benefits or the kind of income that you get out of a job like this?
Yeah. I think overall with 3-2-1, I have been extremely lucky and grateful for this aspect as well, because 3-2-1 is one of the highest paying orgs in the sector. I've fortunately couple of things, right? One is because of what my needs are and what I consider enough and what the org offered. I think both have always aligned, or I think always I have been very grateful to whatever the org has offered.
So any principles that you learned at work, any models that you have built that help you?
This was such a wonderful question, and I have a plethora of things here. A lot of things borrowed from the tech industry and the Silicon Valley, right? Agile, OKRs, time blocking, Pomodoros, and some principles from David Allen's Getting Things Done. A couple of them is just mind is for having ideas, not holding them, right? So you just collect stuff. And you note stuff down. Don't keep it in your head. Then weekly review for work also comes from 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the classics. Then Energy Audit by Tony Schwartz, which helps, all our team members to not feel burnout, to just have a balance and, keep renewing their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energies. And a very recent realization, I've been reading a lot of Wait But Why, Tim Urban, and connecting the dots back, I think I've been very lucky in life that, I'm not, if you've read his Elon Musk series, the chef and the cook analogy, he talks about the reality box, the want box, the goal pool, the strategy testing. When I now look back at my life, I think I've been very lucky to do all these different elements decently well, right? For example, just, trying to fill the want box from first principles. That requires he says it requires very deep, honest, and independent understanding of yourself. I was lucky enough to, get to do that through Vipassana, through constant failing, through books, through reflection. The second, the reality box, right, which requires a very clear picture of what is possible out there in the real world and what is possible with respect to your own abilities. And I was able to do that through the Facebook of that time, TED, reading, right? And now I would just recommend everyone current audience engineers to just leap forward and leverage the sources we are mentioning and just, you know, definitely read Tim Urban, Wait But Why. And even Goalpool, I got to, wahan to I got very lucky. I was like, oh, ek 3-2-1 mil gaya. I was like, this is it, chipak gaya. And just followed because there was a larger alignment to what 3-2-1 wanted to do and what I wanted to do in life. So that has helped me sort of in my goal pool. I've been testing things with the organization, changing strategy, keep evolving things and towards the larger revolution, which all of us want to.
40% of like the lessons that I've learned in the last 4 years, you summarized in like 3 minutes. So
100% great. For me, maybe 105.
Yeah,
I'm still learning new.
yeah, but Tim Urban's blog, like Wait But Why, is brilliant. Like there is one post which I absolutely love. Like I think it's called "Life is a Picture and You Live in a Pixel." So he talks about
like read that. I made a note of that. Yeah.
So it's a, like it's one of my favorite. Like it's always bookmarked. I always visit it every once, like once a year or something like that.
Yeah. I started with this. I knew about him. But then I stumbled upon the story of us. And I have been ever waiting for the 10th chapter.
Yeah.
I got to the Elon Musk series. And I just keep getting blown away.
Yeah, I started with Elon Musk. Like my roommate at college, he sent me the link. And since then, I've started like following him and everywhere.
So how do you continue learning in your role?
Yeah. I think 2-3 big things, right? One is just reading. Second is that 3-2-1, their support, their insights, their experiences. And then personally creating systems to not repeat past mistakes from the experiences of different things which I get to do in my role. Like I become very restless if, you know, something has not gone the right way. And until I have pulled out the lesson and have it in a place where I know, you know, I won't repeat the same mistake or I'll leverage that learning again and again, I feel very restless. So I think that's how I keep learning.
So what's next in store for you?
Yeah, I think 3-2-1 for as long as possible because of the larger alignment with the vision and mission. For me, again, the role is not very important. Right? The org's vision, mission, culture, leadership, that's what I stick to. Currently, based on my current reality and reflection and things I value. And I think I have reached a place where, you know, my life's mission has kept evolving and currently evolving in terms of more clarity, more concise, but our direction is the same. But I think I want to enable self-awareness. And currently I'm doing it through working in an org, which is trying to, you know, work on foundational literacy, which is extremely critical, I feel, for self-awareness. If you don't have literacy skills, like, you know, how will you read and reflect and learn? And through the current people management systems or within the org, which we have. That's how I think currently I'm working on my mission around self-awareness, spreading self-awareness. And in post 3-2-1, whenever that happens, if that happens, or even parallelly, I would like to do something with Vipassana because I think around self-awareness, I think that is the most challenging thing I've ever experienced and highly recommend. And if I can do something to spread it more and get more people to experience it. And also if things work out, if things, you know, artificial intelligence, Mars, all of that is happening, then maybe work in one of Elon Musk's company. But around, you know, these elements which we value at 3-2-1, right? The culture, because it will be very important in those companies and those people working on those projects to be to have a strong culture. I'm not aware they might already have it, but I would, you know, like to explore in very long term. I don't know, hoga nahi hoga. And yeah, I think I'd want to continue learning, keep reading, and keep refining my boxes, the reality, want, goal pool, all of that, and then keep evolving.
Yeah, let's move to the next segment now. So we'll try to take your recommendations and see what have what has inspired you on this path? So starting with, and I think we've discussed this, but like your top three book recommendations and like what is the book that you've gifted the most?
I think over the years, as I've read more and more, I've been lucky to be in a place where the next book I read is kind of an umbrella which covers all the other books which I've read in the past, right? So I think from that lens, I think 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I think it's a classic. And if you ask me for the want box, I think this is the book to go, right? It helps put a lot of big rocks first in your life. And then if you want, I think for the listeners, I think at that time, Atlas Shrugged appealed a lot to me. And quite literally, it was the book I gifted the most. It conveys one of the messages in 7 Habits about being proactive, about realizing that how, you know, I am the master of my fate and I am the captain of my soul. And Atlas Shrugged and Fountainhead does that with much more dramatization and extreme perspective. But yeah, if you were someone who loves drama and extreme views, that's the book. Otherwise, 7 Habits is a pretty comprehensive and go-to book for that. So that's my first. Second is Atomic Habits by James Clear. I think it will help you execute stuff which you want to do, right? It's a very... So 7 Habits is big picture. And Atomic Habits is ikdam, atomic picture, right? Ikdam details. And then the third one would be Wait But Why, to keep updating your reality box. I think, again, based on my current exposure, if there might be more things out there, but I think, that would be... And Wait But Why, especially the story of us, the Elon Musk series and the AI, the things he's written. Because for our generation, I think it's just fascinating to even just fathom the, maybe this will become a fact that in the next 40 to 50 years, there'll be human colony on Mars and artificial super intelligence might be there and would have solved all our problems. So it's fascinating.
Cool. Next question. Top 3 movie TV show recommendations.
Yeah. For this one, I think I always, you know, Abhito, I have replaced my solo watching time with reading time. And I watch stuff only with wife and family. But before that, I used to seek series which are of different genres, which would make me learn something new or different. And from that perspective, I think the first recommendation is Matrix and Sense8. I think it just expands your thinking at so many levels. I can't even describe. Second one is Newsroom. It just exemplifies teamwork, loyalty, trust, pursuit of ideals, passion for the work. Just amazing. And then this might be a surprising one, but I think for the time when I was doing engineering, I think 90210. That
is really?
I'll tell you my thinking behind this. Okay. You know, I think at that time, it really taught me about relationships and got me to experience mistakes which one could make by watching what was happening on the show. And my biggest takeaway was, you know, I can choose relationships I want and make them work. It is in my control. That is why 90210.
90210 from that angle is a very, very different insight about the show. You should have read Gossip Girl as well then.
I haven't seen that. Abhi wo time chala gaya hai lo mere liye.
I had a follow-up on this. Like, how do you not feel like watching TV? Like, I've been struggling with this. That's why I'm asking this question. Like, I have this, like, I had this habit like 3-4 months back where at night I would read for 1 hour for sure before going to sleep. But now, like, I keep falling back into that habit where I start watching things instead of reading.
Yeah, even I do that sometimes, yeah. And it's okay. weekend pe hota hai kabhi kabhi. But I think the turning point for me was when I was doing an activity in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People of defining my life's mission. I think there it became pretty clear. And again, through Atomic Habits, there were some hacks, tricks that I just attached watching with five. Wo to hona hi hai, right? So then let me leverage other time reading because I think before, like in my early grades in school, I was just fascinated by reading. I used to finish like three books fifth grade mein, you know what kind of books, right? Fun chill picture books and all that. But I used to finish 3-4 books a day, and then through the education system, unfortunately, I got educated out of that habit. I had to bring it back. It stayed in some ways, definitely through reading the books I mentioned during 12, The Secret, Fountainhead, all of that. But wo kahin kho gaya tha, and I brought that back, and I realized that 10 minutes reading to start my day with that keeps me motivated for the day, right? So I have read like so many books by just reading 10 minutes every day. And using Atomic Habits, I hacked that also. 10-minute kaise, so I've attached it to an existing habit, which already there. And it's a little bit embarrassing. I think many people have it, but I just do it in the washroom.
Yeah. Habit stacking, I think, is one of the underrated ideas for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the next one. So top 3 podcast or YouTube channel that you would recommend?
Yeah. I think I'm thinking of this from the lens of the listeners of What the Hat. I think for majority of your audience who is students, I think What the Hat for sure is one of the podcasts you should be listening to because of the kind of exposure you will get. I wished I had it, like really. And I'm really proud of what you guys are doing with this. It's one of the things which, you know, is kabhi to idea tha mere man mein ki, or one of ki, where do I impact education the most? Should I go and speak to engineering students and tell them what it is, or where? So I've been in that pura spectrum, but I'm glad you guys are doing it for that audience, because, you know, the real life experiences. Whoever asks for advice to me, right, engineering, I tell them ki, jo tumhe karna hai, go to the person doing that job, spend time with them, and then find out what their day-to-day life looks like and get that reality. Do internships. I think thoda-thoda wo improve ho raha hai. NEP mein bhi wo, it has come up, and they are encouraging that. That's a great thing. So this podcast, you know, will give you that kind of exposure and the learning leaps it can provide, right? You don't have to repeat what we did. And you can just learn and start off from the things I am discovering now and finding very useful. You can start now. And that's amazing, right? So not for any other reason, but these reasons, definitely What the Hat. And if there are other channels, other podcasts which give you similar exposure, then those for sure. I'm not aware, but right. Then second one is there's a channel on YouTube called Soch by Mohak Mangal. I think it's where I go to it for very well-researched news suggestions for improvements in society, current affair topics. I think it's very well-researched. I really like that about that channel. And then I think Mahabharat by Dhruv Rathi. I think it's a great way to learn about relevant things as a citizen. I was in a stage couple of years back where I wanted to understand ki mera kya role hai, main kya karu as a citizen. Because there's so many things happening in society and you feel the need to do it. I think it's a good basic understanding of democracy and all the relevant topics. Very basic, 20 minute ke hai, really good. I would recommend that. And then one more, if I may, FitTuber, I think very genuine guy, relevant, contextual, healthy life, actionable stuff.
I think we've covered this, but just to summarize, like top three reasons someone should pursue a career in social service.
Yeah. I think a good way to think about career, again, borrowing from Tim Urban, from my experience with 321, from, you know, how Gaurav, you know, has shared his thoughts around this. A good way to think about career is ask, you know, who you are, what your principles are, what are your values, who do you want to serve, what problems do you want to solve, and what is your current ability, what can you get yourself to learn, all of those were the boxes we spoke about, right? Reality box, one box. And based on all this reflection, you know, someone should pick a goal, pick the users you want to serve, pick the problem you want to solve, and go do that. And let that become your career, right? Like, you should define your own career. Choosing or picking a defined career should not define you. I think that kind of thinking will now get outdated, right? And then from that lens, if I speak, the social sector, what it offers is users are underprivileged section of the society, and the problem scope is huge, from education to health to poverty to hunger, and they need smart brains to work on them. So if this is something which appeals to you, if this is something which exists in your goal selection pool, and if it matches, I think then the sector is for you.
Awesome. So that brings us to the end of our episode. This has been a very, very insightful. Thank you so much. We are really grateful for you to be part of our show and share your journey with us.
Thanks to you. As I shared in the beginning, I feel very privileged for you to consider me for this. And I hope the listeners benefit and take leaps ahead. And I'd be happy to, you know, speak to more people if they want to reach out. I don't know what system we can have in place, but if there's something you guys are exploring, I'd love to speak to people.
So that's about it, folks. We will be back next week with another guest and another story. We would love to hear your thoughts about the episode. Feel free to reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. You can just search What The Hat Podcast. Also, subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Castbox, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast from, so you never miss out on the next episode. This is Hiloni, Atit, and Tapan signing off, and this was What The Hat.